terror had dwindled to something familiar and ferocious. Sure, I might be outnumbered, but I was no longer at all certain that I was outclassed. When the Fallen were calling the shots, they were arrogant to the extreme, and they weren't at all used to playing it by ear and adjusting to changes in the tempo. When the coin bearers were running things, they could be more dangerous, but no more so than anyone else I had crossed metaphorical swords with. Nicodemus, then, was dangerous because he was Nicodemus, not because of a fallen angel or a lack of one. And while I would be a fool to think him anything less than a deadly threat, I had survived him once and seen the trap coming this time, even if it had been at the last minute. I spared a glance for the splattered, twitching remains of the decapitated Denarian in the ferns. These creeps might have scary angels looking over their shoulders, but for the next couple of minutes at least, so did I. It didn't make them any less dangerous. It just made me see that I had a chance of standing up to them. No flash and thunder, then. I had no energy to spare for them. No wasted time, either. I rose and stole through the ferns toward where I thought the next nearest Denarian had come down, up a steep hillside that was murder to move over silently. The Denarian who had landed hadn't stayed immobile, though. I found the spread talon prints in the earth where it had touched down, like those of a turkey, but larger. I froze as water splashed off to my right. From the corner of my eye, I saw a Denarian haul herself out of the water of the dolphin pool. Mantis girl, Tessa. She pulled herself over the pedestrian guardrail, moving fast and warily. I saw a flash of silver in the talons of one hand. She'd recovered the coin of the Denarian I'd shoved into the beam. She knew they weren't alone. I didn't have much in the way of cover between her and me, but I didn't move, and I didn't think she spotted me. Mantis girl landed on the concrete and vanished down the path and out of my sight. Something let out a chittering, monkey-like sound from somewhere in the vast room, but other than that, everything remained silent. I ghosted forward again, straining to hear. Where was the drama? Where were the explosions, the howling screams, the deafening soundtrack? This was just one big eerie game of hide-and-seek, which I suddenly realized must have been the archive's counter-strategy. The energy output of the enormous symbol was too high to maintain for long. If she could simply remain hidden from her enemies until the symbol could no longer be maintained, she could depart at will. There would be no need for her to burn through her precious little available energy in a last-ditch, desperate effort to defend herself, provided she could stay calm and focused enough to maintain a veil under these circumstances, of course. It would force the Denarians to hunt Ivy, expending their efforts on trying to pierce her veil, while Kincaid concentrated on isolating them and killing them while they were distracted. It was a deucedly clever counter-tactic. On the far side of the room, one of the Denarians started screaming, a wail of agony. My eyes snapped up to Kincaid's position. He was gone. A rope now dangled down over the foliage below where he'd hung, but he'd abandoned the exposed shooting position after taking down one more enemy, it would seem. I found myself grinning. Fine. If that was the game, I could play too. Ready or not, here I come.